Church, we went through this book, but I need to remind us of this. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes this to the people of Ephesus, in the church of Ephesus. He writes this. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some as teachers. Okay? That's the who of the church. Okay? That was God's ordaining of the structure of the church. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. So that's, you cannot argue with that. That's God's structure, not man's. That's how he set up the offices in the church. And then verse 12 gives for what purpose? Why did he give us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers? Well, he says in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Why? Well, verse 13. 12 is the what? The why is verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. In other words, God set up the offices of the church. Then he says the purpose for these offices is for the building up of the saints, building up of the body, until we all mature to that unity, maturing together in unity that our focus of the church is Jesus and Jesus alone. Not an organization, nothing else. That's it. And so coming here 3 years ago, you know, slowly did what God called us to do and put the foundation back under Emiola, that Jesus is the center of it. And then slowly God began to point out men in the church that were called into these offices of elders and deacons. And it's been my blessing to come alongside Kealoha and to disciple him. And there's a few other men that have been discipling. And so now you get to reap the rewards of that. And the reason why I say reap the rewards, because he has been diligent in the calling that God has placed upon his life. He's been diligent in his study of the word. Just ask Linda, because Linda sometimes going, how come you're up at 3:00? Because I got to go downstairs and read and pray. That's his heart. And it shows. And this morning, I know my brother well enough, it shows that he's nervous. When he came up and shared this morning before the offering, I could sense it already. Usually he has a nugget of wisdom for us. He was just like, okay, well, let's just get this over with. And so as our brother comes up and shares with us, be blessed. And for me, I'm going to be blessed because out of my 3 years, this is the third Sunday that I actually get to sit in the congregation and listen. But I'm going to step out, and I don't want you guys to think, well, Kahu, you know everything, that's why you're leaving. No, I'm going to go mahoy in the Sunday school, okay? And then I'll be back. All right? So come on up, Kealoha. And the other thing Kealoha understands is the holiness and the sacredness of all of this. He has a deep understanding of that, and he has a healthy fear of God. And so, Father, we thank you for our brother, Lord. Father, and just being obedient to the call that you placed upon him, Lord. And, Father, as he continues, Father, may you give him all that he needs, Lord. Father, may Linda be given wisdom and vision to come alongside of him as wife and to support and build him up, Lord, and encourage him in the calling that you placed upon him, Lord. Father, as a team, may they move forward in this calling, Lord. So now, Father, as he has prayed, others have prayed, anoint him. Give us ears to hear what you have to say through our brother. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, can you guys hear me? All right, no pressure, right? I first wanted to just thank Kahu. Well, thank God first, before anything else. for his wisdom, his guidance, and just working on me through all this process. But here I just wanted to thank Kaho for his mentorship. We spend time together one-on-one every week. And then also the brothers in the Bible study, where we can come together from different walks, share the word, and just be accountable to each other. That's a big deal for us men who come and meet every Tuesday night at 6. There's a lot of room, in the class that anybody can come and join us. Brother James taking us through the Gospel of Matthew, so it's helping us a lot. And then overall, the deacons, we meet a lot together outside of church. We go through struggles together, but we're always accountable to each other. And then you guys, you guys have seen me do this almost a year and a half now, and you guys encourage and support. So I thank you guys a lot. Thank you so much. Okay, so you guys got you guys Bibles. Kahu talked about with age comes all kinds of things. So I try not to use my glasses at times, but other times it's got to get done. So, but anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit. Okay, I'll stop the umming. My wife said, don't So, but anyway, blinders. We're going to talk a little bit about blinders on horses. They call them blinders. They call them blinkers. Over here, they call them panimaka. And they use them for certain things. While I was traveling up in, I drove a truck for a while up in the mainland. And I used to go through Pennsylvania and Ohio, where there used to be a lot of Amish people. And you'd see these wagons, big old black wagons with big horses. And the horses used to have all these blinders on their eyes so that it'll keep their vision focused forward. Everything to the side of it, whatever distraction, if a semi came through or something on the side was distracting, it would cut it down. So their whole vision was forward. And even in racehorses, they use it. If it was a fairly new racehorse, or not all of them I see use them, to this, keep them concentrated on their focus forward. So the scripture that we're going to bring today is going to focus on a lot of that blindness that we see today in the world that is around us. Number one, Jesus asked us to go serve in the community. So we're walking into stuff that should blind us from, what we're trying to work against. I went on the computer this morning, and they even had the company Panasonic invented a blinder for humans so that they come to work in the office. We looked it up this morning. I was showing my wife, and they actually put on this soft blinder that they put on in the office, and it helps the people not to get distracted. So they're efficient. They come in. Can you imagine walking in the office and see all the people on the desk with blinders on? So they're only looking at their computer. Anything else is not a distraction. So when they talk to their fellow employee, they understand what the conversation is, and everything around gets blocked out. So they don't have cubicles. Have these flat desks with their computer. They focus in. When they get up, they talk to a person, and just the person that they're talking to is so they could tone out all of these different things. So I was thinking, if we go and just put a Bible in front of the, instead of the computer, maybe we could just focus in, right, and not let everything else distract us. I find myself getting distracted at times where it's hard, but you got to find a quiet place. Let the Bible be your blinders to what's outside of us and concentrate on what God's got to say to us through his word. So John 9, the Gospel of John. This has 41 verses. In order to start John 1:9. We've got to really go through the whole chapter just so we can see the end result of what Jesus did. So we're going to start in that. Physical blindness. Physical blindness is usually caused from an accident, a disease, or from birth. That's the three ways we can have physical blindness. What's even worse than physical blindness is spiritual blindness. Right? Spiritual blindness is a condition that people go through that they don't believe in God, they don't believe His Word, and they don't believe the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, if the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from the people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. The good news of Jesus is for everyone. God didn't say, just I'm going to send my son just for this here. It's for the whole world to have. It's for everybody to believe and put their faith in. But we have free will. We choose not to have it. Some people don't. You can believe it or not believe it. That's your choice. The British novelist Lawrence Durrell put it this way: it is not love that is blind, but jealousy. The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John was written to prove that Jesus was who He said He was. He was the Son of God. And all who believe in Him will not, but have. There it is. Simple. But because out of Jesus' ministry, there was a lot of mixed feelings, mixed views. People had all kinds of different views on Him. Some worshipped Him. Some were puzzled about what He'd done or what He said. Some actually shrunk back because they didn't know what to do with Him. And most of all, some wanted Him dead. They didn't want what He was bringing. They didn't know what He was about or what His ministry was. The God of the universe was in front of them, and they were, they didn't recognize who He was. And the reactions today is the same as back in Jesus' ministry. Nothing changed. The people, their views, their hearts are still the same. It's never changed. But Jesus, on the other hand, His heart and His love never changes. It went from the creation of the world all the way to what Kyle was walking us through, the book of Revelation. It never changes. Pray with me before we get started. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this time. I thank You that You love us so much that You sent Your Son Jesus to be a sacrifice for us, Father, on the cross, that through Him and Him only, as we put our faith in Him, we can have a relation back with You, and more importantly, eternal life with You, Father, in heaven. As we go through the book of John, there'll be many different views, many different feelings of what Your Son did. So as we study, Father, we just pray a blessing upon each and every one of us here. In His name we pray. Amen. So as we read the passage, see if we can pick out the different views, people, where they take a stand on Jesus, and see where you're at in your walk. Which view do you have about Jesus today? John 9, verse 1. As He passed by, He saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked Him, Rabbi, Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, Is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, This is he. Still others were saying, No, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the one. So they were saying to him, How then were your eyes open? He answered, The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go wash, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and washed, and I received sight. They said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who was formerly blind. So we see a few things going on here. The disciples. In a Jewish custom or belief was that if you had an ailment or a disability or some kind of disease, it was because of your sin. So the disciples walking up with Jesus to this man already had in their mind what the condition was from. They asked Jesus, Is this because of his sin that he is blind? The disciples chose to ask Jesus a question based on their belief and not see the real need at hand. Jesus had compassion on the blind beggar, while the disciples used this situation as a topic of conversation. We ourselves sometimes do that. We don't meet the need, but we talk about it. You know, we like, oh, something's wrong, you know. So we tend to maybe not be of service. But talking is easy. Talking is, anybody can talk. Why don't we start with prayer? We can always pray for a situation, for someone that's going through something, for ourselves. Praying for a specific need that someone has, lifting it up to God, and ask God how he can use us to meet that need. That's when we have prayer and praise requests. That's when we know prayer changes to praises, when God does his work. But if we lift it up to him, that's what God wants us to do, is lift up needs to him and let him do the work. We pray, we answer. Anne has prayer warriors that come here every Thursday that pray for our prayer requests. So let's start with prayer. That's a start. That's what God wants us to do. Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those whom it is due when it is in your power to act. If we in Christ, we got the power. He's in us. We just got to act on it. Again, we have the choice. The Holy Spirit's going to convict us. It's just up to us if we're going to follow through with his work or do what we want to do. The people around the blind man. You know, they asked all the questions. Really, they didn't want to know exactly what happened to the blind man. There was more maybe amused at how he got healed, if they even believed it. They thought it was somebody else that actually looked like him. You know, they didn't really say, well, they passed him all these times, but yet they say, well, is that really him that got healed? Yeah, that's him. He's telling you. And they chose to ask questions that was puzzling to themselves. They asked things like, is it not the one who used to sit and beg? This is he. No, but he is like him. How then were your eyes open? Where is he? They didn't know. They didn't pay attention to what Jesus came here to do. They just wanted to see some kind of miracle or be amused by Jesus. But yet, look at the blind man. That's where his testimony started. He got healed of a condition that he was born with. But now his story changed. So now his testimony starts. But even with his testimony, people didn't believe in what he went through actually happened. The real answer is Jesus. The love of Jesus is going to change us. That's the only thing that works. And they didn't believe to a point. They actually took him to the synagogue to figure it out with the religious leaders. So they themselves said, well, I don't know what happened to this guy. Let's take him to church and see what they say about it. Let's continue in our passage, 14, verse 14. Now it was the Sabbath, on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others were saying, how can a man who is a sinner perform such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man, again, what do you say about him, since he opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. The Jews then did not believe it of him that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, but that he was born blind. But how he sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said, because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Wow. So the parents of the blind man, the Pharisees asked him two questions. Is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he see? They answered the two questions correct. They answered it truthfully. But because of their status in the church, they chose not to go any further than that. They said, he is of age, ask him. If they said that he was the Christ, they would have kicked him out of the synagogue. I'd rather have Christ in my life and be out of some religious church than be in some religious church and not have Christ. Simple as that, right? So the parents chose that status. They say, you know what? Here's my son. You ask him. Let him fend for himself. For us, we're just going to sit here and listen to your religious laws. Passing the buck. And it happens today. People who are closest to you might not accept Jesus. And they might say, wow. Okay, if you're going to do it that way, then they're going to do what they believe in. It's true. Even if it means losing the relationship. Okay, this is where it gets even better. John 24:34.
So the second time, they called the blind man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He then answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, I thought I was blind, that though I was blind, now I see." Wow. So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already that you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" They reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from." The man answered to them and said, "Well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will and hears him, since the beginning of time, he has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could not do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are teaching us?" So they put him out. Wow. So the religious leaders, teachers of the law, lack compassion on people. They didn't serve the community. It was all about religious status. They never ministered to common people. Instead, they held them to the laws of Moses, which they themselves could not do. They were all about their outward appearance, their status in the community, rather than meeting the needs of the people around them. They missed the mark. They didn't have the blinders on. Everything else around them was all, as long as attention comes to me, that's what I want most. God is looking for people to do his work out of love, so we can give him the praise and glory. The stuff that we do is to give glory to God, not to ourselves. God's not fooled by our words. If we don't have a heart to back it up with, he's God. He knows everything. Look at what Luke said in Luke 11, 43 to 46. "Woe to you, Pharisees, for how you love the seats of honor in the synagogues and the respectful greeting from everyone as you walk through the markets. Yes, awesome judgment is awaiting you, for you are like hitting graves in a field. Men go by you with no knowledge of corruption. They are passing." "Sir," said an expert in religious law who was standing there, "you have insulted my profession." "Two, in what you said." "Yes," said Jesus, "the same horrors await you, for you crush men beneath impossible religious demands that you yourselves would never think of trying to keep." Amazing, huh? The Pharisees really wanted him dead because he was a threat to their religious system and their traditions. Plus, it was grumbling amongst themselves about, one said that, "Oh, the blind guy couldn't see because of his sin." Inside of their circle, there was grumbling among. That shows you that it's not about God, it's just about what they believe in. The blind beggar, he accepted his situation. He was born from birth. But Jesus used his situation, number one, to heal the man of his physical need. Number two, spiritually, we're going to read later that the man did come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. 3 as a teaching moment for his disciples. And the best of all was to challenge the Pharisees at their religious traditions. He was still blind when Jesus came and told him to go wash. In this picture, Jesus is going to do his part, but the man actually physically had to get up and go to the pool of Siloam to wash. So he did do. Although he couldn't see Jesus, which you see blind, and he went, that shows his faith. His faith was growing strong in Christ. He was blind, but he listened to Jesus. Jesus told him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, which he did, and he was healed. We ourselves analyze things when Jesus or the Holy Spirit convicts us to do something. He was like, let me think this over for a little bit before I commit. And we do it all the time. And then if everything lines up according to what we believe, then I might just take that step and go serve in the community or do whatever Jesus asks you to, or minister to a family member or whatever it is. But by faith, the blind man got up, he went to the pool, he washed, and he saw. His testimony about life-changing healing that he had received from Jesus never won over anybody in the crowd. There was just more of a puzzle. People didn't want to see where this Jesus was or ask the man, really, really what happened. It certainly didn't make the Pharisees happy because Jesus was a threat to their way of life. But to him, it made him bold. It made him stand up for what he believed in. He didn't want to be a part of any religious group or movement that didn't have Jesus in it. He said, whatever. If you don't have Jesus in here, I'd rather be out there with Jesus. Acts 3:16. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. And the faith which comes through him has given this perfect health in the presence of you all. This was another event where his disciples, now apostles, actually had the Holy Spirit in them, so they had the power to heal. And yet, in a different time, the same religious leaders had the same mindset. We have a video of the actual Gospel of John. It's about 8 minutes long, but I hope you all blessed like I was. And then we can see it, what we're going through. Hope you bless.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been born blind.
Teacher, whose sin caused him to be born blind? Was it his own or his parents' sin?
His blindness has nothing to do with his sins or his parents' sins. He is blind so that God's power might be seen at work in him. As long as it is day, we must keep on doing the work of him who sent me. Night is coming, and no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light for the world.
After he said this, Jesus spat on the ground and made some mud with the spittle. He rubbed the mud on the man's eyes.
Go and wash your face in the pool of Siloam.
This name means scent. So the man went, washed his face, and came back, seeing. His neighbors then, and the people who had seen him begging before this, asked, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?"
"He's the one."
"No, he isn't. He just looks like him." "I am the man. How is it that you can now see?"
"The man called Jesus made some mud, rubbed it on my eyes, and told me to go to Siloam and wash my face. So I went, and as soon as I washed, I could see."
"Where is he?"
"I don't know."
Then they took to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. The day that Jesus made the mud and cured him of his blindness was a Sabbath. Pharisees then asked the man again how he had received his sight.
"He put some mud on my eyes. I washed my face, and now I can see."
"A man who did this cannot be from God, for he does not obey the Sabbath law. How could a man who is a sinner perform such miracles as these?"
And there was division among them.
"You say he cured you of your blindness. Well, what do you say about him?"
"He is a prophet."
The Jewish authorities, however, were not willing to believe that he had been blind and could now see until they called his parents.
"Is this your son? You say that he was born blind. How is it then that he can now see?"
"We know that he is our son, and we know that he was born blind. But we don't know how it is that he is now able to see, nor do we know who cured him of his blindness."
"Ask him. He is old enough, and he can answer for himself."
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities, who had already agreed that anyone who said he believed that Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That is why his parents said, "He is old enough, ask him." A second time, they called back the man who had been born blind.
"Promise before God that you will tell the truth. We know that this man who cured you is a sinner."
"I do not know if he is a sinner or not. One thing I do know. I was blind, and now I see."
"What did he do to you? How did he cure you of your blindness?"
"I have already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Maybe you too would like to be his disciples."
They insulted him and said,
"You are that fellow's disciple. But we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for that fellow, however, we do not even know where he comes from."
"What a strange thing that is. You do not know where he comes from, but he cured me of my blindness. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He does listen to people who respect him and do what he wants them to do. Since the beginning of the world, nobody has ever heard of anyone giving sight to a person born blind. Unless this man came from God, he would not be able to do a thing!
You were born and brought up in sin! And you are trying to teach us.
And they expelled him from the synagogue.
We missed the best part when Jesus comes back. Sorry, let me get this back on. So you guys can see the different views, right? It's good to see that, and then what we've been reading, that we can see the view of the beggar, the people around him, his parents, and the Pharisees. Here's the best part. 9:35, verse 41. Let's finish this passage off. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking to you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." There it is, transformation. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For the judgment, I came into this world so that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, We are not blind too, are we?" Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains." Jesus, the one who changes things, the one who holds his promise, who never goes back on what he says. Jesus came as God in the flesh out of love. Jesus came to this fallen world, born of a virgin, and lived a sinless life that we should have lived, and died a sinful death that we should have died in our place. He shed his blood on the cross for the sins of humanity, and he was buried and rose on the third day, proving that he is the Son of God, and offers the gift of salvation to all who repent and put their faith in him. That's the gospel message right there. He came. He loved up on everybody. But it's up to us to choose what we want. Out of love, the blind beggar got healed physically and spiritually. John 9:5. "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Job 33:28. "He has redeemed my soul from going into the pit, and my life shall see the light." Isaiah 42:16. "I will lead the blind by the way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them, and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do. I will not leave them undone." At one time in my life, I had mountains everywhere. And I'm sure they'll pop up again. But through Jesus and my faith in him, through my transformation, when I look, for now, I see flat ground. What person are you? The one who moves to silence him? The one who shrinks back? The one who is puzzled? Or the one who worships him?
John 14:6 says, Jesus was answering a question that Thomas asked him. And his answer was, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's it. That's the blinder. If we keep the blinders on and focus on Jesus, everything around us is everything around us. I just want to thank God above all just for showing me and sticking in there with me, because He's not going to leave. He keeps working on me every day through people that I love and know. Brother Ernie right there. Welcome back, my brother. But I just want to thank Him, thank God for putting relationships back in my life that was once lost, that He rebuilt, and just blowing me away every day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You. I thank You for this time of sharing.